It's so good to see each of you here this morning. I cannot encourage you strong enough to come back tonight and spend time with us in worship. The Teens for Christ is always a great opportunity to be together. It shows support of our teens when we have our own congregation come out in good numbers. And then plan on staying afterwards tonight. We're having nachos in the fellowship hall and Cupcake Tower, and it's always a beautiful sight to see all those cupcakes and stuff together. And so plan on being part of that. I promise you will be encouraged and be uplifted by that experience. I'm going to ask also that you remember in prayer our sister congregation in Trinidad, the Miaro congregation. I've been in contact a lot with them the past couple weeks. Brother Samaro called a couple weeks ago, and then Brother Marsha, who helps coordinate some of the work down there. We have shipped them a lot of school supplies, and they finally got the last shipment a couple weeks ago. And this coming Sunday, they're having a Friends and Family Day. So since we've been there over the summer, they've had a lot of visitors to the congregation. They now have a regular minister preaching for them, Brother Simeon Simeon Mills and his family. And next Sunday, they're inviting all the families that had kids at Vacation Bible School to come with them next Sunday for a lesson, service, share a meal, and they're going to distribute school supplies next Sunday. So they're really, really excited. This is a congregation that's just not had a lot of resources. Those of you who are here when we gave a report of the work, they literally had a mismatched set of communion-wearing 15 songbooks. They rented a building to meet in. They don't have what we have. So it was somewhat unique in the church experience there is that they passed two baskets. One was support the local church and the work there, and one was support the local needy. That's how they did that, and they had a benevolent basket and another basket. And the dear brother who led the prayer that morning really touched me. He's blind; he has to be led around. He doesn't have sight. He prayed something I never heard prayed in one of our churches before. Is that, Lord, for those of us who have the opportunity to give, we thank you. And for those of us who don't have the opportunity to give, we pray that you bless this week so next week we have something to give. And I've never heard anyone in our church fellowship ever have to say, I don't have anything to give, but God bless me so I can next week. So that just sort of gives you a feeling of sort of what they've been up against for a number of years. And so we were active part of that work. I think Tammy said last Sunday they had a family of four visit with them last Sunday. And they're really, really encouraged with that. So we just need to continue in prayer for them, but be mindful for them. For next Sunday. This morning's memory verse that you're going to be sort of thinking on and contemplating and trying to memorize this week is it's one that's pretty deep in what Jesus is saying here, but in the context of John chapter 15. Jesus is telling his apostles that they need to be deeply connected to him. He is going to be their source of their power and their strength. Not their own abilities, that they cannot rely on their own strength. But as followers of Jesus, he tells them that they're going to have to find their identity with him. But also, not only their identity, but their own accomplishments will be achieved by their relationship with Jesus, not on their own ability. And this is really important for us as 21st century Christians. And we have so much available to us today. I mean, when we think about what we have, you know, materially speaking, we have access to information. We have just about anything we want when we want it. It's real easy for us to think that man, we've got this. You know, and God's lucky he's got us because we've got this. And Jesus asked his followers to take a step back and realize you don't have this if you don't have me. And so that's sort of what we're going to be looking at this morning. So we're going to read the first few verses of John chapter 15, and we'll comment on them, and then we're going to read from our memory verse down. So I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless he abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The benefit of having the memory verses, and Jeff and I sort of making a commitment to sort of preach from the memory verses this year, it's given me a long time to think about lessons, you know, because I know these are coming up. And in this lesson, I sort of went a place that maybe it makes sense to you, hopefully. Jesus uses agriculture terms about vine dressing and pruning, and it's pretty much something that most of us haven't had a lot of experience with. You know, we're not vine dressers. We don't raise grapes and mass quantities to produce wine. It's not something we're very familiar with. We sort of have some of these agricultural concepts. But I begin to wonder if Jesus was to deliver a similar message today, what metaphor, what analogy would he use? Okay, what would he talk about? Something that we can all relate to. Because particularly when we talk about the power aspect. Now, we understand as long as a branch is connected to the root and the trunk that it's got life because of the resources that the root and the trunk gives it. But it's still not something that we relate to. So I begin to think about terms of power, how we know it. That you have the receptacle, then you got the plug. Unless the plug is in the receptacle, you have no power. You have the potential for power. The potentiality is there, right? Okay. But if it's unplugged, it don't work. Okay. The potentiality is there. Okay. But if it's unplugged, it doesn't work. And so we must know from our perspective, where does our power come from? Where's it being sourced from? And Jesus is inviting us to be more than just his acquaintance. He wants us to abide in him. And so what are the words that we could substitute for abide? Well, to remain. He wants us to continue. He wants us to stay. And so when I begin thinking, you know, is there a biblical story that sort of gets at the emphasis of what this level of commitment looks like? I thought of the story of Ruth. Remember Ruth? She was the Moabite woman that had married into indirectly the family of Judah. Her husband had died. Her father-in-law had died. Her husband's only brother had died. And she's widowed with her sister-in-law and her mother-in-law. And Naomi's getting up in years. They'd come to Moab because of a famine. And Naomi's now, she's widowed. She says, if I'm going to die, I'd soon die at home. I'm going back to Bethlehem. And then her daughter-in-law says, no, we're going with you. And she says, no, I can't give you any more sons. There's no opportunities for you to stay with me. But then you have this Ruth, who makes this promise to her. Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. I will be, your people shall be my people and your God my God. And where you die, I will die. And there I'll be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death departs you and me. This is such a powerful statement about commitment that even in wedding ceremonies, ministers very often like to borrow the scripture. Okay? And they'll use it in wedding ceremonies as a man makes his promise to a wife, a wife makes her promise to husband, you know, entreat me not to leave me and forsake thee. But it's actually a daughter-in-law's promise to a mother-in-law. Okay? But yet it's about commitment. It's about I'm with you no matter what. Don't ask me to leave you. Don't ask me not to go with you. I'm with you no matter what. It's more than just, oh, I know you. I'm familiar with you. I've got an inkling about you. It's a level of intimacy. It's a level of knowledge of this person that goes beyond the normal human experience. And there's a beauty in this. So you cannot access his power unless you're connected with him. Now, Tammy and I, we were working in one of the bedrooms the other night, and we have lamps in one of the spare bedrooms we have. The kids stay in, and so we had lamps on either side of the bed, and I turned one of them on, and the other one, come on. And I thought, why won't this lamp come on? And I'm looking at the bulb looked fine, it's like that, and I keep looking, I thought, turn it on, and then what's going on? Then I realized that we had an extension cord on the bed, and both lamps put an extension cord, and I guess when the kids were there, they unplugged one side, okay? And so me and my size don't fit under this bed too very well. And so I'm having to go get things to drag that cord back to the middle of the bed. Okay. Me wanting it to happen, me willing it to happen, me wishing it would happen, me wishing someone else was there, like someone younger, thinner, smaller, like my son, Dylan, could sort of push him under the bed. But it wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to change until I had connected to power. And sometimes we want more in our life. We want more spiritually. We want more peace. We want more assurance. We want more faith. But the problem is that we don't connect to Jesus in a way that he wants us to. We let too many things come between him and us, or between us and him. He says, abide in me, stay with me, remain with me, and I will with you. You see, it's an invitation. Jesus doesn't force himself on us. It's an invitation to abide in him. And he will abide in us. And so Jesus says, unless you abide in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. All the wishing, all the wanting, all the hoping doesn't give us the power we need unless we get really, really, really serious about this relationship with Jesus, that we abide in him. We stay plugged in to him. The good news this morning is, this is very good news. This is not just good news, this is very good news. If you're looking for God, he's looking for you. Isn't that great? If you're looking for God, he's looking for you. Again, in the Gospel of John, Jesus is traveling through Samaria and he meets this woman at the well, and there's this conversation that takes place, and she's asking about, where is the place to worship God? Your people say it's Jerusalem. My people say it's here on this mountain. Where do we worship God? And Jesus tells her this. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. I think I grew up with a lot of emphasis being placed on worshiping in spirit and truth, but not so much emphasis on the fact that God's seeking people looking for him to worship him. So the fact is this morning, for whatever reason that you're here, whether it's for a prior commitment that you made to yourself and to God, or maybe you're searching or seeking, but the fact is that if you're looking for God, he's looking for you. And that part of abiding, that part of staying, is God wants that level of relationship with us. He wants us plugged into the power. Picking up in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. We turned it into a pretty song, didn't we? He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them to the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you may be my disciples. If anything happens that disconnects you from the power source, you can't produce. And if you're really connected to Jesus, you will be fruitful. I'm the vine and ye are the branches. Who abides in me and I here bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I've noticed sometimes in seeing being around people who are accomplished carpenters, craftsmen, they have power tools. You know, and they always have power tools, and invariably, it seems like every time, you know, I see that many of their power tools, the cords on them have been repaired. Okay, especially on circular saws. Okay, how many of you ever used a circular saw and you're just cutting away and it just went dead all of a sudden? What happened? You cut the cord in two. You know, how many of you seen that? I mean, I've seen some of it, you know, and you see these cords have been patched back together, okay? Got big bundle of electrical tape. Doesn't that? Yeah. The reality is that we all disconnect from time to time, sometimes accidentally, sometimes intentionally. But Jesus says it's really, really important for you to understand that you've got to be mindful of that connection. You got to make sure that nothing gets in the way of it. And sometimes maybe it was the carpenter getting in a hurry. You know, got their measurement. They measure twice. They're ready to cut. And they just going to do this real fast. And they realize they get that cord. It wasn't intentional. It was just not being mindful of what you were doing. How many of you ever been vacuuming a house and you're just beating the time out of it? I mean, you're just vacuuming something and suddenly, you know. What happened? You pulled the cord out of the wall. And there's that's a spiritual analogy to where we can be spiritually sometimes. We think we're trucking along, we're making real progress, but we're just forgetting to do the things that keeps us closer to Jesus, like fellowship, like devotion, like prayer. And before we know it, we just find ourselves spiritually. You see, you have to make an intentional decision. And if we are connected, we're going to be fruitful. Now, this fruitfulness, I know that sometimes we really emphasize that the need to share the gospel, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But the fruitfulness that we need to also see is on a personal level, not just an interpersonal level. I need to be able to connect it to the power and the real fruitfulness of my life may not be how many people I get to come to church with me. The real fruitfulness of my life may not be in anyone seeing these measurable things in me, but it's subjectively of me having more of the Holy Spirit present in my life. Me experiencing more joy, kindness, long-suffering. Now, if you're having to tell somebody, boy, I'm being long-suffering with you, you're probably not being long-suffering. That's like a warning. Don't push me. But when you find that your buttons are no longer being pushed by certain people, or you're really finding that the thing that used to be so hard for you not to do, you find yourself it's not so hard not to do it anymore. Self-control. Or you find yourself people that you just didn't really care too much about, really, really caring about now. Or maybe just, you know, just being kind and good. Just being mindful of doing small things that really are not that big a deal. But just leaving things better than you found it. Yeah. A week ago I had to run to Livingston and I ran by the Dollar General Market up there. And I don't know what had been happening up there. It's like it was chaos in the parking lot. Okay. Every one of those green carts looked like they had to be outside. You know, there was carts pushed out. I don't know, was a run on the dollar store or what, but I was like, and I thought, well, I'm going in. I need a cart. I grabbed one. Well, I might as well grab two. So I'm pushing carts. And, remind me of my days as a Kroger courtesy clerk many years ago. I'm pushing carts and like that. Oh, thank you. I'm no big deal here. But it was something that I guess not many people do, to leave it better than they found it. It's just the personal things. It's you being aware that there's more of Jesus present in my heart and my life than there was a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. That's fruitfulness. That's real fruitfulness. And part of what Paul says, part of this is just, getting rid of yourself. When you crucify your own desires and your passions, you've got more room for the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So fruitfulness, when we're connected to Jesus on this right level, that we can experience more personal level. But there is also the interpersonal level as well. He says, continuing Galatians chapter 5, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I mean, we're supposed to, again in Galatians, he says, to bear with one another. But I think that you've got to get that personal fruitfulness going before this other fruitfulness comes. But Jesus says, if you're connected to Him, you will be fruitful. If you're not feeling fruitful in your life on a personal and interpersonal level, I also have to ask, what's your relationship like with Jesus? Is he an acquaintance? Is he someone that you really respect? Or is he someone you're really, 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 really committed to? The power is the power of the words. This power is the power of the words of Christ, basically of the gospel. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. So it's not just liking Jesus. In fact, in this morning we studied in the book of Philippians, it's to be like Jesus, to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's begin thinking and orienting yourself to the world as Jesus would. And so, but Jesus says this gospel, he doesn't use the word there. He uses my words, but Jesus' words is the gospel, right? He's the power of God. And so when Paul talks about this, he makes a very powerful statement. But we first need to understand it's not the ability of the person sharing the words of Jesus or the ones hearing the words of Jesus that is the power of the gospel. Sometimes we give way too much credit on man's efforts to deliver the gospel. Boy, that guy's a powerful preacher. Boy, he can touch people, get people to respond. He can't do nothing that the gospel couldn't do. Boy, that person studied their way. They studied and so and they became a Christian because of their devout sincerity or their devout study or the open. No. It is the gospel's power to save. Not the deliverer and not how recipient the person is, but it is the gospel's power to save. So Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. It's a funny thing when you go from one language to another because sometimes the equivalency is not there. And the Greek translators came to this word power. And there were a lot of different words used in the Greek language to denote power or strength. But they came to this word power in the original language that was different than most of the time the word power was used in Scripture. And so they actually came across a very interesting word here. It's dunamis. Dunamis is actually the Greek word for power there. Not some of the other terms, but the word dunamis. And this is the power to create. I don't know if you realize, but one of the first foundations for the Nobel Prize was by the person who created dynamite, the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, we look at it as a source of destruction, okay? But in this context, and we change this dunamis into an English word, dynamite, which is the power to create, okay? The gospel is the God's power to create, not to destroy, but to create. The gospel is not a power of destruction, but a power of creation. Remember, what's the very first attribute of God? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. So the gospel is God's power to create. Create what? Create the fruit of the Spirit. Create what? Create people who have the mind of Jesus. The gospel is the power to create. Not to destroy, but to create. Sometimes we look at the gospel as a means to sort of drive the meanness out of me. But it is God's power to create goodness. Jesus, again using these agricultural metaphors in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, says either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. So the good that I do is not me, but Christ dwelling in me. And so this is what the power of the gospel is. Finding our strength and power in Jesus is a process that takes time. In the Psalms, there's this passage in Psalms chapter 20. Some people put trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. It's amazing what we put our confidence in sometimes today. But we can trust in the Lord our God. I met a gentleman the other day for coffee. He had a few things he wanted to talk about. He's probably going to be my new neighbor. Met the other day for coffee. And he had got a little bit political, talking about, you know, the situation the world is in. You know, and I said, yeah, it's a pretty dismal situation. I said, but the God I put my faith and trust in had a king who grazed like a cow and lived in the field that brought him back to sanity and led his people. I said, if God can do that, God can take about anybody and do something with them. You see, when we put our Hezekiah, remember, he turned out, turned like the wild animal for a while and came back to his senses. So when we begin to recognize where the true power is in this world and put our faith and trust in that power, it takes time for us. It takes time to have that kind of faith. However, once we get it, it's obvious to those around us. Jesus, from the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world, a city that cannot be hidden. Nor the light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We talked in Bible study class this morning about what does it mean to glorify God by doing His will, because Jesus did not think it to be robbery. He didn't think it was taking anything away from God. He said, I'm equal to God. But yet He humbled Himself and glorified God by doing His will. And when we do God's will, God is glorified. It's way of God spreading His message into this world. It's way of God's way of delivering how He wants the gospel delivered through us. And when we get it. So in this next week, just do some reflection. You know, ask yourself, am I really plugged into Jesus? Am I really plugged into Jesus? Am I really plugged into Jesus? Or am I more like my cell phone? You know, these things have probably kept us more conscientious of power than anything, right? Yeah. I've only got two bars, you know. And so we realize, you know, can't get too far away from the power outlet. You know, how many of you have, you know, cords for your cars and cards, you know, you got them everything, you know, got to have them everywhere. Yeah. But there is no real power in this, is there? It's power that's easily expended, you know, if you're out someplace. I've been having to go through places that didn't have much of a signal. You know, I had to go to Lafayette the other day, and I mean, it was like there's no signal, you know, to much of Jackson County, part of Macon County, part of Clay County. It's like, there's nothing. It was zoom. And what do I have to do? Charge it back up. And too often we want to sort of have that relationship with Jesus. You know, Jesus, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. Let me get charged back up. And we get charged back up, you know, and maybe I'll make it to Wednesday and I'll get charged back up again. And while God's willing to charge us, He would much more willing and want us to have a direct, constant connection to His Son. And what is producing fruit in our life, on our personal level and on an interpersonal level. You know, I would be pretty bold maybe to say, but I really believe this. If the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life, you probably don't have to say too much about Jesus to other people. They're going to ask you, where do you get this peace from? How are you the way you are? How can you be so happy all the time? How can you put up with some of the people you put up with? Because they would drive me crazy. Well, you know, it's not always easy. But I get this relationship with Jesus and somehow it works out. So if you're here this morning and you're struggling in life, in your walk, or maybe life in general, the statement is, apart from Jesus, you can't do anything. You may say, well, hide and watch. I do a lot of things. Well, that's based upon your effort, and that can change. Illness. Age. Other people. So, if you're here this morning, and we're going to spend some time, Brother Ronnie's chosen a song to give us a period of time. To give you, if you want assistance this morning, we're here to assist you. Why don't you come as we stand and sing the song Ronnie's chosen for us.